Blog Talk Radio.
This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. We have a very special show for you tonight. Normally, as you know, we're not on Friday nights, but we're doing a special edition because we have a lot of information to get out there, and we've got a very special guest. Co-hosting with me tonight is Coz Whittenscaith. Say hello, Coz.
Hello.
Hi, Coz.
There you go.
Hey, Coz.
Yeah, and Ron, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, Shigda?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
It used to be, it's an Irish name. It used to be Oshegda, but we dropped the O, but it's really Ukrainian.
Oh. Okay. All right. And I used to be an Indian, but my mom married an Englishman. Anyway,
I thought with the British accent for the introduction, I thought this was the BBC.
I know, isn't that something? That woman's been on there for years. She's been on there longer than I have, and she sounds the same every time.
Well, yeah. Britain is our mother country. So how you doing, Mom?
Yeah, and please send back some of the money, will you? Anyway. What we're going to be talking about tonight, of course, is what's going on in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we think it's bad all over the country. We know it's bad. But every once in a while, things come out and surface in one area that just blows your mind. It just that things are so bad, so blatantly corrupt, that these agencies that are operating have become so predatory. And they don't care. They don't care if you know. They don't care what happens. Bring on the next kid. Bring on the next elderly person. We got money to make here. And this is what they're doing. I keep harping at people about this. They have commodified us, the population. They are buying and selling us. And this is what these federal agencies, state agencies are all about, that are all cash incentivized. They're being paid to prey on us. And we've got Wall Street is selling prisoner loan or prisoner bonds. I don't know how bad this has got to get. We've got close to 2.5 million people in prison. We have got, I don't know how many tens of thousands of elderly people held captive in these guardianships while their estates are being robbed. We have over 800,000 children last year in this country ripped away from their families with little to no evidence of any wrongdoing. And
how many,
parceled
how many,
out
how many,
800,000.
How many are you saying, Marty?
800,000.
Yeah.
So
on the high side, but yeah, true.
This is what we're up against here. We have become prey. We have become a commodity. And like I say, we are being bought, sold, and traded. And everything is geared at how much are we worth in the system in one of these agencies. So our guest tonight, the Coz brought to us, is Ron Shegda, and he's a boots-on-the-ground, give-em-hell activist, advocate out in Pennsylvania. So, Ron, why don't you give everybody a little bit of background on yourself and what you've been working on?
Well, thank you very kindly, Marty, and with blessings to you and and to Coz. And I've just gotten to be familiar with TS Radio. And I realized it's ultimately named after my buddy Dee Snider with Twisted Swiss Sister. And we're not going to take it anymore. So that's like
no.
And I want to say to Coz in Wisconsin, she makes the most voluptuous and delectable cakes. And Coz, do you have like a website where people can order your cakes?
We currently can't ship right now, but I think this is an amazing idea. We're Rosie's Coffee Bar and Bakery in Madison, Wisconsin, and we do everything from scratch. So thanks for the plug. Ron and I have known each other for several years, and Ron, I'm like kind of starstruck that you're like, on the program with me, because I've always admired everything that you do, and I don't know that everyone in like the people that I know who you are. And so I feel like we're bringing like two worlds together, because your advocacy, like you send out the letters that are going to like the senators and the, you know, I see them, like you are doing stuff.
Everybody.
You're not just like spinning your wheel. Like you, when you send me something, it is so meaningful. And I was like, so excited when you would do this. And it was when I saw the work that you're now doing on the with the Grace Parker stuff. And it's just been such a disturbing story. And it's Montgomery County, and that county where, you know, my family was harmed. And when I saw this coming up in this county again, I'm like, what is going on?
And there's a despicable judge in Montgomery County who's just raking in money by appointing guardians who plunder the assets of elderly people, and your uncle was one of them. And
yeah.
I don't follow that as closely as you do. I'm more on the human services with Child Protective Services and with, you know, for the disabled. How I got into this, I was raised with a near twin sister with Down syndrome who happily lived with me in Northampton County. And she was kidnapped by this despicable, boorish caseworker who wanted to be the first one in Pennsylvania to make a score on protecting someone under, you know, the disabled act of, you know, that of Harrisburg, of protecting disabled elderly disabled people. She was well cared for. One day she was being threatened by being expelled from her day program, where she had a difficult teacher who was like getting fed up with her, and they were threatening her with being expelled. And she was being claimed that she was displaying unacceptable behavior. So I sat her down in the morning before she got dressed. She had her nightgown on, her bathroom on, and I was asking her, Lorraine, who are you hitting? You have to tell me. They're going to expel you. So I gave her a smack on her thigh to tell me, and then she fessed up who it was. And then I called the teacher, and she said, that's not who it was. And Lorraine was so bent out of shape because she was so threatened by these people at her day program that the caseworker swooped in a week later with her supervisor to become this heroine in Pennsylvania, and they kidnapped Lorraine. They did it in the worst way. Her supervisor, they're both psychopaths and sociopaths, and this is what the type of people that work with this system, this social service system, and you hopefully everybody sees this. You think, oh no, these are good people. No, there's a bevy of despicable people, and these are the ones who rise to the top. They become supervisors. And if anybody bucks the system, they're threatened with being fired or they're demoted. So they under false pretenses, they lured us to the police station under that there was some kind of abuse going on. We were both ministers at our church. I ran for office. We were upstanding citizens. And so they lured us to the police station here in Hellertown, Pennsylvania, Northampton County, and they separated us, and I heard them upstairs. And then when I read the police report, how did they get her? Oh, Lorraine, do you want to go to a new program to see a lady with a puppy, because she called our little doggie her puppy? Oh, Lorraine, do you want to go to a new program to see a lady with a puppy? Because she just went to a new program because she was going to be expelled from a past one because they couldn't deal with her behaviors, you know, which, whatever, she, you know, just ran its course. So they use the oldest trick in the books of predators. They lured my sister away with a puppy, and I didn't know where she was for 6 years.
Oh my God! For 6 years you didn't know where she was at?
No.
Jeez. And
this
what was their excuse for doing this, Ron?
Whose excuse? The government?
Yes. What was their excuse for doing this?
Oh, I was in a... Well, they never told me. Well, where's the proof? That, you know, because I talked to good people in this office. It's called, developmental programs, which is... It's all people from CYS, Children and Youth Services in Northampton County, which is basically CPS, Child Protective Services. And so, like the good people said, well, Ron... You know, they're all meeting all the time because they covered up. It was like a complete cover-up. It's the same thing that's going on in Washington today. It's total cover-up. So their excuse was that, well, I'm an abuser. So we came to court, and I had 35 people. I could have had 100 people there the first time in 2011. And unfortunately, this is what happens, and people listening have to understand this because, for one – the average person who hears these kinds of stories, whether it's an elder kidnap, or somebody taken in custody, or whether it's a disabled person or it's a child, the average person who hears this thinks that, oh, no, you must have done something wrong. Oh, no, no.
Yep.
But the other thing that happens, of course, is it members of our own family? Just takes one member or a neighbor to because they have a grievance against us, just or not to speak up firmly that this is wrong, and so that was their excuse that I was an abuser, and they never proved anything.
Well, and the thing about it, the worst part of it is they're not required to prove anything. They, just like in probate and guardianship. Those people from CPS can go in there and levy all kinds of charges with no evidence and never produce any evidence. And it's taken
and it's
as if it came from the mouth of God. Yep.
And it's like guardianships. It's the same thing, Marty. It's these judges.
Yes.
See, these people in these agencies gain credibility for being despicable liars over the years. And
yes.
That's how they make – because evil runs downhill, and it's hard to contain, and so they generate credibility with these judges, and so the judges see Joe Schmo, they see Ron Chegda, they see Coswit and Scaife in front of them. They don't know us from anybody, but they know these people who these agency people, and they believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the
thing about it, it's not a matter of even that they believe him. It just whether they believe him or not is neither here nor there. That person sitting up there calling themselves a judge is employed by the same agencies these people represent. That's who they're drawing
a
paycheck from.
In our state,
yes.
They're employed by the state, by Harrisburg.
Yeah, but right. But see, this is all under an umbrella agency. And that is the same agency that is the umbrella agency for CPS. Okay,
right.
And so their paycheck all comes from, they're all on the same team. They're not going to go against each other, and their money is generated. The federal funding through Title IV of Social Security is generated.
Title IV, you got it.
Yep, by kidnapping these children and marketing them through this system. You're paying for bogus foster care. You're paying for forced adoptions. They make big money for taking a child and putting it in foster care. For every dollar they're paying that foster parent, they're making $5 to $6 in federal and state funding for having captured that child. So this is what I'm saying, we're commodities.
I sent some links, to this show, and hopefully, because I wrote in, I sent some links, including from Molly McGrath Tierney, who is the I don't know if she still is. As of a couple of years ago, she was. She was long term, and she couldn't take it because it was getting to her. And I think she went back because she was so good. Molly McGrath Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, and people can look her up. Molly McGrath Tierney. She's the she has been the director of whatever Child Services, Human Services in the city of Baltimore, and. I don't have the quote in front of me, but it doesn't matter. But she was saying, you know, CPS and you know, and all these people, you know, with disabled, with the elderly. Her quote is, and she's got this movie. I put a couple links on, you know, your site. That they're doing the wrong work. It's the intervention is the evil. They're breaking up families, and I don't get paid unless I capture somebody. I capture an elderly person, you know, a disabled person, a child. And in Pennsylvania, for instance, there are approximately 18,000 kids, you know, that cycle in and out of foster care every year. If you study. In any state, you study the statistics, the majority of people on death row are former foster kids. Half of the kids that end up in the foster system either end up in jail or pregnant by the time they're 18. It's despicable. And I have a good link also on there of a book. What the heck's his name? I wish I had this in front of me here right now. It's Stephen Krason. He K-R-A-S-O-N. Everybody listening, if you're, you know, a little, you know, oriented toward, you know, the more studied, you know, essence of this kind of dynamic, it's a book by Stephen Krason, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Krason, K-R-A-S-O-N. He wrote this book a couple years ago. It's on child protection, CPS, and family rights. And what they document, and they're scholars, and their footnotes are like as long as their book. But it's a good read. But his chapter is the first chapter, and it's the best one. And they point out that 80% of the kids that are taken into the system are taken wrongfully. Because there are these people, there are these people that are hired by the courts, by the agencies, to go out and look for abuse that doesn't exist.
Right.
So that's how they get paid. And this book also documents most of the people that work for these human services, social service systems, they're morally bankrupt. They come from broken families themselves. They come from this. They live disordered lives. And that's who's taking our loved ones away from us. People that work for government that lead disordered lives.
Well, you know something, Ron. You keep hearing it, and especially from the right. I get so tired of hearing this crap. About how who's destroying the American family. Well, it's the Muslims, it's the gays, it's this one, it's that one, it's the government. Face it, it's
well,
the government that is tearing our families apart.
She just passed away a year or so ago in her 90s. Who am I thinking of? She founded the Eagle Forum. She founded the Eagle Forum.
Oh, Phyllis Schlafly.
That was her latest book. And I was on a local radio station, you know, with her. She wrote a book, you know, who's responsible, whatever it was called, something like, who's responsible for destroying the American family? And she concluded it was the government.
Yes.
Wow.
That's the only one who has the power to do it. People being gay have no power to destroy your family. And those are people you most likely don't know and never will. So what does it make a difference to you? That's the way I feel about that. The Muslims are not destroying your family. People who don't go to the same church you go to are not destroying your family.
Islam stands up for family. Islam loves the family. I mean, in a different way than us. But Islam would never destroy a family, unless it was maybe an infidel.
Well, you know what I'm saying. But they got things I don't care about.
It's the government.
You know what I'm saying? It's the government.
It's government with an agenda that has an unequaled pot of money to tap into. And unfortunately, what they do is they hire their friends and their lovers and their relatives to do the same thing that they're doing.
Well, it just, you know, I've marveled at that for a long time, that people will lay the blame everywhere but where it belongs, and they always lay it on a group of people that they don't like. Well, the people you should be aiming this at is the government. This whole system is set up through the federal bureaucracy. It comes down through the states with funding and money that just keeps rolling in the door as long as they keep targeting and capturing these people. This is a sick, sick system. And we're going to get – go ahead.
This book I identified by Dr. Stephen Krason, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Krason, K-R-A-S-O-N, on and you can look it up on Amazon – and get it used. It's probably it's cheap by now. The used books on child protective services, children rights, children's rights, and family rights, is that he identifies this all began as a result of the hippies in the 60s.
Oh God!
The revolution in the 60s, because all these we want free love. Families aren't important. It's all about whatever we want. And so, all these people from the 60s went, graduated into the 70s, and they didn't have a respect for family. And so Congress passed with this swelter of how society should be reorganized. They created CAPTA, child protection. I can't think of it right now.
Well, first came CHIPS, which was the Children's Health Care and Protection Act.
No, that was way after. This was Walter
was
Mondale in 1974.
Okay.
The child something protection and therapy act, CAPTA. People could look that up. CAPTA. And it's now grown and it was funded through like you said, Marty, Title IV-E money through Social Security to child. Doesn't matter what the A stands for, child or something. But it grew into right now it's about $14 billion a year. And these county agencies, they bill the federal government, and it's unaccounted for. All they do is send their bills. So, like, for instance, my sister, this is just like one little piece of the puzzle here, but she was captured, she was kidnapped. I didn't know where she was. There was never any reason given why she was taken away. And, it took me several years to get what's called her ISP, Individual Service Plan. And I'm looking this thing up, and it shows you she's received – her case, her captivity is being billed to Centers for Medicare and Medicaid – $136,000 a year for housing, for like full-time workers, for therapists, and she was drugged to death. And ultimately, what they did, they broke her neck. They broke her neck. She was almost near death.
How did they do that?
These people. Because when a judge finally said, "Hey, this is not right. I want this family to be reunited." So it took 6 years for a judge to say, hey, make this happen. So when I started going to this place, and you have to realize there are all these sub-agencies, and what the heck was this? They're all despicable because it's like these cottage industries. I can't even remember the name at this point, but it's all these, and it's like, what the heck was it? I'd like to say it over the air, but they're based out of Princeton, New Jersey, and they're like in 10
Oh, go ahead
10
and say
or,
it.
I can't remember because I haven't said it because my mind is so jumbled with all these marauders, all these demons, all these devils, you know. And so, well, whatever. Maybe I'll think of it by the time we're over. They were billing her for that was just the housing and the services. $136,000 a year, and she had a home where she was well taken care of. So and you asked about the broken neck. Over these 8 years, she's been like a payola of like $3 million to these agencies.
Oh my God!
So how did she break her neck? Because when I started to visit her, what the heck was it called? Something. I'll try to find it. When I finally got to start visiting her, like it's like this place, it's like it's awful. These 20-year-olds, they're smoking cigarettes, they're on their cell phones all day, and it's like hey, and the door is broken, and it's like the front walk, it's like 10 feet from the parking lot to the front door. And there's broken concrete, so it's and this relates, you know, I think Kaz could maybe chime in. This relates to like guardianships because my sister was assigned a guardian. It's a despicable. She wouldn't let me see her they kept changing for from when she was assigned for like a couple of years until the judge told her. Oh, okay. Then he cracked the whip, so she finally let me see my son. You know, we got together, but the point is, for 6 months, I was sending pictures and writing to this guardian, this despicable guardian, Deborah Jean DiNardo. Despicable.
Oh, God.
I was writing to her and sending her pictures. Hey. This is a hazard waiting to happen. My sister was living in a bedroom that was so cluttered, the whole bed, the whole bedroom, the floor, that you couldn't imagine but tripping, you know. And my sister was getting a little wobbly on her feet. They had no shower chair. They had no bars, and they were drugging her. They were drugging her with these psychotropics. So one day she was supposed to come to see a new PCP that I found for her, and she never showed up because she tripped over the concrete.
Oh, God.
Oh. Wow.
And then we finally get to the court, and the judge says, well, Ms. DiNardo, what's going on with this investigation about why Ms. Shegda tripped? Oh, I don't know. I asked about it. They don't care. They don't care. They,
no.
Like Kaz, they don't care if your uncle dies or not. They just want money.
They want money.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's disgusting. But you know what? Like, that judge, like, I'm shocked that there was a judge that did the right thing. Like, that's hopeful.
Yeah. He did, hopeful. But then he left the bench.
They probably got rid of him.
Yeah, you can't have you doing the right thing.
And then his last word, because I tried to rally his support, and he told our other sister, well, Ron Shegda shouldn't bash people. Oh, okay. So you can't say that people committed, despicable acts against vulnerable people. You can't point that out because that's bashing.
Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas. Oh man, this stuff just makes my blood boil. We've heard the worst, but it always gets worse. Every time we talk to someone, you hear a story that, honest to God, just shocks you to your senses. Ron, can I ask you, is your sister with you now?
No, she's because of her broken neck, and she aspirated. She was in this detestable rehabilitation place in whatever even the heck, I can't even remember that name, in Coopersburg, PA, and she aspirated twice, once in the night, and they didn't do anything about it, and she aspirated again in her other lung the next day, and she's been on a breathing machine ever since.
Oh, God.
And she's kind of comatose at this point. So her life and mine, too, have been destroyed by these people.
Yeah. That's the worst part of this, I think, in my estimation. It's bad enough what happened to your sister. It's the downstream effect. It ripples down through the family. And in many areas, it ripples through the community. They don't just destroy the person they captured. They destroy everybody associated with them. It's not one-off event, you know.
And everybody becomes afraid. Our other sister, our other sister's a retired teacher, and she's been afraid that they're going to take her pension away from her. So she crawls under her bed. She does nothing. Okay. She doesn't speak out. She brings our other sister balloons and thinks that's helpful.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, Ron, people do what they're able to do. You're obviously a very strong character, very driven, you know, just out there. Some of us are like that, but not everybody is. Not everybody has that kind of stamina to stand up,
but
and people do become afraid.
At least a little something. Yeah.
Yes, I know what you're saying. But like I say, some people are so fearful, and with good reason. If we had any sense, we would be too. But I'm just at past the point where I just, you know, bring it. Not everybody's like that. Yeah.
I thought of this place. Everybody should look them up. It's got a terrible reputation. Community Options. Community Options, Inc. Out of Princeton, New Jersey. And what they do, they swoop into towns and states and towns. They're like in, I don't know, 12, 15 states. And they buy up houses. You know, for group homes,
yes.
And they go to the counties and say, hey, do you have any merchandise for me? Do you have any merchandise? And everybody's making money. So that's where these despicable, you know, caseworkers go out and find vulnerable people with accusations of abuse that doesn't exist, and they capture these people. And they haul them into court, and they take their rights away from them. They strip them of their rights.
Yes.
You're
becoming a ward of the state. When you become a ward, when you are designated a ward, you have suffered a civil death. And as far as the law is concerned, you no longer exist. So your identity is given to that guardian who now represents themselves as you. This is, I brought this up at the summit last year, this is the ultimate in identity theft. They speak for you, they make your decisions, they spend your money, they do whatever they want to do. And it's just, but this, the last thing you want to be is a ward of the state, and this is a very carefully constructed system. It is set up so that you are rendered a civil death. You are dead in the law. You can't speak. You cannot speak.
And another
problem I have here is
Cos
this
could
thing.
Speak to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell about your uncle.
We were on last week, Ron, and we were talking about Harvey, and we had we actually profiled six different stories with the same guardian, Deb Clock, all in Montgomery County. And so, everyone got to hear it then, and it's the pattern is the same, and it's just, you know, the amazing thing is that we're all finding each other, And yeah, when I tell people about this story, I always have to start up. I'm like, I'm going to tell you a story, and you need to decide, am I a compulsive liar? Am I living in a fantasy, or am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
I'm telling you that, you know, and yeah, because people just think it's so outrageous. And you know what, Ron, I always think, I would love to hear the story. You always call her like our patron saint. And she was
Nancy Schaefer.
Learned about her because of you. I had never heard about her before until you had posted about her. I would love for you to share that story.
Nancy Schaefer was she was only a one-term senator, but she was a friend of Phyllis Schlafly. She was a member of the Eagle Forum. She was the Georgia state representative for the Eagle Forum, which Phyllis Schlafly and. You know, whatever, I guess you got to cross political lines, but Phyllis Schlafly probably single-handedly defeated the Equal Rights Amendment that would have given women the right to kill their babies in the Constitution. So whether you agree with that or not, so that was Phyllis Schlafly. And so people started contacting her in the early part of this century and saying, My grandchildren were kidnapped. My children were kidnapped, you know, throughout Georgia. And there were like hundreds. And then people from across the United States, because she started speaking out and she started going to conferences in Europe, on the family and speaking about the Child Protective Services system. And people can look her up, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, Nancy Schaefer, S-C-H-A-E-F-E-R, a Georgia State Senator. There are several really good YouTubes out on her, and you can read articles on her. And she started speaking out, and she concluded the Child Protective Services system is evil. It's an evil system. It destroys families. It destroys people's lives. And so... So she was supposed to go, and she wrote a report. You can find a report I have, and I'm trying to finish this book because I'm just kind of so worn out with this. You know, I've been dealing with this stuff now for 8 years. You know, but I'm trying to put together my first book was just out a couple months ago. It's called Conversations with Joe. It's about my wisest and most learned friend that I ever had in life. And I encourage everybody listening, identify the wisest and most learned person you know. And like the book of Proverbs says, you know, wear out their doorstep. Seek them out, wear out their doorstep and listen to them. And so it's called Conversations with Joe Conversations with Joe by Ron Shegde. You can find it on Amazon. I'm trying to put together a second book. It's been written, but I have to kind of massage it, put it together because I've written like 100 articles about these topics over the last number of years, and so it's a combination of all these articles. Easy essays for dismantling the child protective and human and other human services system, and Nancy Schaefer, she's in there, and people should look her up, listen to her, and she was so on fire and so determined. She was a rock solid Christian, and you don't have to be a Christian to see that there's evil in this world, but that's where she was coming from. And so she was speaking out about the evil, and she wrote a very scathing report. That report is in my book, and she wrote this report about reforming the Child Protective Services system in Georgia. But because there was so much money at stake, see, like for instance, in Pennsylvania, I know this, that, and we'll get to, hopefully before we end, we'll get to, you know, Susan Hunziker, who state representatives don't want to call her by Packer. They don't want to call her by that. Her name was Susan Hunziker. She was murdered and dismembered, a foster kid. But with with Nancy, she wrote this report about reforming, about, like, for instance, this bill, well, it was a bill, that no child should be taken longer than 72 hours without any kind of warrant, you know, or proof of any kind of wrongdoing. But that doesn't happen anywhere. They just take our loved ones without any evidence, without any warrants. So she was supposed to go to with her husband. Her husband was Bruce. His nickname was Bear. She was supposed to go to this Eagle Forum conference in March of 2010, and she called Phyllis Schlafly and said, I can't come because tomorrow on Monday I have this press conference, and she was going to do this major expose about by naming people in the state of Georgia that were making big time money, and Atlanta, Georgia is known as the child, the teen, sex trafficking trades capital of the United States. And you know, and these CPS agencies, they feed that. They feed sex trafficking. So but not solely, but that's part of what's involved. So she was supposed to go. That night she and her husband were both assassinated. And you can look this up.
Yes.
She was assassinated in her home. It was like amazing cover up. March 26, 2010, and so that's why my picture on Facebook is Senator Nancy Schaefer. She's the Abraham Lincoln. She's the Martha Luther King. She's the Bobby Kennedy of all this, everything that we're talking about. This despicability of the evil of this human services system in the United States. And I think we're going to run out of time soon. Do we have time to say something about Susan Hunziker?
Yeah, and just on the people disappearing. Hopefully in future shows, we actually have some family members in the Montgomery County area, and their loved ones have been are mysteriously dead. And some of them are a little bit afraid to come on the show yet. But Marty and I have both heard the stories. This is a real thing. People are afraid for their life. So absolutely,
yes, they are.
And they ruled Nancy's death a suicide. Both her and her husband.
Yeah.
They just ruled it a suicide.
But there was like this. Oh well, they had financial problems. They did not. They had health problems.
No.
They did not. And from what I've heard, and I've known a personal friend, I've kind of lost touch over the last maybe a year or so, but a personal friend of hers from Georgia, and from what I've heard is that not only was she murdered, you know, and it's like well for instance, it was supposedly he shot her and shot himself, but his bullet wound was in his chest. Who kills himself by putting a bullet to their chest?
Yeah.
And then a friend. I've learned this from from a friend about Nancy. People can look her up.
Yeah,
she's got there's plenty of evidence on the
Wiki
internet
page.
About her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go, Julian Assange. So
yeah,
WikiLeaks, not WikiPage.
She's got a Wiki page.
Wiki. supposedly, I've also heard that not only were she and her husband murdered, but her house was burnt down.
What?
Her house was burnt down. And then all her files from her office all mysteriously disappeared. And she was producing a video on this expose, and all of that disappeared.
Wasn't that handy?
This is what I started to say about Pennsylvania. I try to study this stuff. I don't know, but Pennsylvania by itself, Harrisburg, that's our capital, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Harrisburg pulls in, not the counties, but Harrisburg pulls in $300 million a year of Title IV e-money. What state legislator is going to take interest in threatening $300 million for every state that doesn't have enough money to pay its bills?
Well, and that's money that goes directly into the general fund with no strings attached.
Yes.
So,
there's no accountability. And I've talked at length with he's a good senator, Pat Toomey, but he's like all of us, you ladies, everybody listening, you know, cares about any of this. We're all overextended because when we try to do something, it extends us even more. So Senator Pat Toomey from Senator Bob Casey, he's a total zero. He does nothing.
Oh, yep. Bob Casey blocks stuff. He blocked an investigation. He's terrible.
So, yeah.
So with Senator Toomey, I've written to him and I've talked to him, and he'll answer, but he'll say, Ron, there's supposed to be accountability for this Title IV money. There's a commission, but it never meets. It never does anything. There's no oversight.
Right.
We see
this in everything. They set up these oversight committees that have no authority. We set up task force that have no authority. We set up, hearings that have no authority. And basically what it is, it's a dog and pony show. It's to appease the public. And you're supposed to think they're actually going to do something when they have no intentions of doing any. And I think, as you've learned, as many of us have over the years, you can visit with senators, representatives, governors, the president. You can sit down with Jesus Christ himself. Nothing is going to change. These people do not give a damn. As long as you don't rock the boat and cut off the money train. They are not about to change anything, to do anything that will benefit the public. They all know the system that's in place. Many of them help put that system in place, and the rest of them help keep it in place. And all of this stuff about, I talked to this senator, I talked to that senator, and blah, 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 you just wasted a whole big bunch of your time. I have a question here. I'm supposed to ask you, Ron, who he thinks was behind the murder and cover-up of the senator and her husband in 2010.
I don't know. I don't know. But there was two people, I guess. There was this other senator across the state. I think she was from Atlanta. There's this other senator from, Eastern Georgia, who was like, so quick to say within hours that it was a murder suicide, and he couldn't have known that.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing,
right.
I think the person, and I can't name him. I think we need to name people, but I don't care.
I do too.
Take a bullet to me. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. The sooner I'm off this planet of evil, the better. But I've heard that I think he's like either the Atlanta or the Fulton County or the Georgia Director of Human Services that she was going to name. And so but I don't know. I can't name anybody.
Yeah.
And nobody really cares. But here's the thing.
Right.
This is what it takes. It takes people to be shocked, to spring into action, like you're saying about, elected representatives, they don't do anything. Well, when they're finally shocked into being numb, and this is what Susan Hunsiger, she was adopted at 5 years old. She was born in Reading. She was born in Montgomery County, Coz, and then her parents moved to Reading when she was five. And her mother, Rose Hunsiger, she was like in a car accident. and she had, I think she had some brain damage. So what, and Reading,
yeah.
Pennsylvania, Berks County is one of the most despicable child protective service agencies, counties in the state. I can't keep up with all of this, but there are at least four counties that we know of, not Berks, Dauphin, York, what's the one up northeast, PA, that's the word, Kids for Cash?
Luzerne.
Luzerne, and one more, have all had their CYS, their Children and Youth Services licenses taken over by the state and Philadelphia because of despicable performance, because of incredible abuse. And so poor Susan Hunziker with her family moved to Reading, and the CYS, and I've known these people, they're despicable.
Mm-hmm.
And they have one of the worst records, you know, in this state. And they nab, because this is what they do. They look for people. They look for vulnerable families. Instead of helping families stay intact, they break them apart for money, and they take advantage.
Yeah.
So Susan Hunziker, she was adopted out to what's her name? No, not Susan Hunziker. Susan Hunziker. She was adopted out to Sarah Packer when she was five. Sarah Packer, and I used to live in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. You know, remember the road to Emmaus? You know, Jesus, the road to Emmaus?
Yeah.
Well, she, I don't think Jesus was whispering in Sarah Packer's ear, because she ended up having like 20 to 30 foster kids. And she was giving them to her husband, who was raping them. And
oh my God.
When in 2010, when she was six.
And she worked for, we need to, Sarah Packer worked for the agency, the adoption agency.
Yes, in Emmaus.
Yeah.
But it was funded through Northampton County, the adoption. And then Northampton County hired her as an adoption supervisor for 6 years.
Oh God!
And this is what these people are outraged with now. The legislators, Eddie Paczynski, he's a Democrat, and then Kaufman, he's a legislator, he's a Republican, and they're putting full throttle. It's not like lip service. They're actually, how did this happen? Who made this happen? Who allowed this to happen? And so there were like reports for like up to 10 years of abuse in this household. And Northampton County knew about this, and they did nothing until 2010, when they they fired Sarah Packer because her husband at the time was arrested for child abuse and rape. So they fired her, but they let her keep Sarah and her brother, and I guess maybe some of the other foster kids. And then she invited this wild man. I mean, if you see his pictures, he looks like the devil himself. This boyfriend she invited in, and in July 8th, 2016, they had this plot, and they raped her, they killed her, and they dismembered her and tossed her body parts up in northeast Pennsylvania. And the boyfriend was sentenced to death, and Sarah Packer was just sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah, so and the hearing was – well, then it gets better. So I had someone private message me some court documents. So this hearing happens in Montgomery County. So now they're going to battle over the estate. So the biological parents filed to be like the executor of the estate of Grace Packer, Susan, who's a Hunziker, and I'm guessing there could be some money to made in this estate because they're going to have a lot of wrongful death things. And what I read one article where Sarah, where the mom, the biological mom, they were like
Rose.
So poor they couldn't even afford an attorney to fight to get their kids back. So that I feel is like a prey where they're looking for someone who they can't fight back. They don't have money, and they take these two children.
Is
so
Montgomery
anyway, the biological. Yep, this
Go
is
ahead.
Going on in Montgomery County right now. So the biological family files to be the executor to basically take over everything. And the 2 days later, Team Otthole comes along with the adoptive grandparents claiming, even though, you know, I raise murdering kind of people, I think we should be the executors of this estate.
Oh,
and
sure,
now they're
going to.
Oh,
yep,
God
and
sake.
Now they're gonna, and it's gonna go before Judge Lois Murphy, and you've heard her name. So you've got there's some Otthole attorneys involved, and Judge Lois Murphy, and now they're going to battle out who is going to be the executor of this girl's estate. Like this biological family hasn't been through enough; they now have to fight the Ottholes. It's disgusting because there's some money to be made.
And it ended up in ended up in Montgomery County because this murderous boyfriend rented some kind of place in Quakertown in Montgomery County, and that's where she was raped and killed and dismembered. So they're all in cahoots. They're all in cahoots.
Yeah.
All the counties.
Okay.
Hey,
three messages here.
Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Oh, what were my messages?
Three messages asking what Ottholes are. You want to explain?
Yeah. So the Ottholes are, Judge Stanley Ott, you can Google him, read all about him. There was the Rebel Pundit stories, Guardianship Abuse Spreads to Pennsylvania, written by Michael Volpe. First one was the Tasha Lee story, and then the second one is the Harvey Whitten story, Harvey Whitten was my uncle. And so all the Guardians and then the third one is Austin Gibson, and she's coming on the show in a few weeks, battling and still to this day a reverse mortgage. Anyway, all of us have found each other. And we now know about over 100 families that we have documents or people have documents and about the abuse that are being done in Montgomery County. So basically it's Judge Stanley Ott divvies out the guardianships and the attorneys and stuff like that to his – it's always the same players. And there's it's kind of like what I call WikiLeaks of Montgomery County. It's a Facebook page. It's called Shenanigans in the Montgomery County Courthouse. So Google that. It's like a WikiLeaks. I think it's been on for several years. They even let us have Harvey's story on there. There's like a video, and it all has the court documents and everything. And we still to this day are in litigation over crap. And Harvey has passed away it's 3 years ago this month coming up. And it's still nothing settled. This for our family began 11 years ago. All this incapacitated stuff. Yep. So this has been, I've been having to live this nightmare for 11 years. So I, you know, do suffer from legal abuse syndrome and just the bullying
PTSD.
And everything. My attorney diagnosed me. But anyway, so the Ottholes, it's a fun phrase, but it's pretty much they all work for Judge Stanley Ott. He divvies out, you know, all the favors. But if you go onto that Facebook page, it's WikiLeaks, and there's different stories. And we have Harvey's story. I think, did we post that one on last week, Marty, when we were on and we did a whole show on the Ottholes?
Yes.
And there were six different families that we discussed. And so none of us are related. None of us have ever met each other before. And we have found this, and it is a common denominator that we feel that our loved one has been harmed by this racketeering that's going on in the courthouse. Did I answer that good enough? It's just kind of like
and
all of them are, we lump them into one big kind of.
Yes. Well,
Kaz, are you holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy right now?
I'm not. I cannot release my notice. I may or may not be around a lot of donuts right now.
You ladies are wonderful. Marty, yeah. Kaz, God bless you.
Yes.
Continue your work. And hopefully people can see any links that I send and click on them, you know, from Nancy
yeah.
Schaefer. And I forgot to mention Justina Peltier. I mean, she was stolen
yes.
from her family. I mean, it's like
yeah.
there's so many stories and links of prominence. But this is a cancer. And there's, you know, the movie Traffic. I think there are two of them by Peter. I forget his last name. Peter. These two movies on traffic from England. It's the same thing. It's going on in Australia.
Yeah.
It's going on in Canada. It's going on in Western Europe. There's trafficking
yes.
by governments and vulnerable people. And we need to stand up and speak out. And Marty, you and Kaz are at the forefront of doing this. And
you are
too,
Ron. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just have to say with Montgomery County, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse, they are amazing. And someone told me that the Montgomery County was the most documented county in the United States. And if anyone knows what's happened in Las Vegas, I heard there's more documents that are in Montgomery County right now. So we are really hoping that Montgomery County is going to be the next media explosion to really bring awareness to this. Because I hope the listeners know what happened in Las Vegas. And there's
yeah.
Google April Parks and read all about it. She's
yeah.
sitting in jail now. I mean, these stories are real. And when you finally have convictions
and
they're real. This
well, you
not
know,
crazy.
A lot of
this
what happened
real.
What happened in Las Vegas was, as a result, Steve Miller out there, who's he's in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame and a very noted journalist, and he has hammered at that system out there for 20 years, trying to get it stopped and get it exposed. And the person he's chasing out there is Jared Schaefer, who heads the whole operation. And April Parks and Patience Bristles were both proteges of his. And he's been able to get those two brought to justice, but he hasn't been able to get to Schaefer just yet. Every time he thinks he has him cornered, somehow things just change. And you know what changed was money changed hands. And Schaefer is one of those people that's got the goods on everybody, so you come down too hard on him, he threatens to talk. And Las Vegas, that was a big thing, and I was happy for Steve after all these years of trying to get justice for so many of these people out there that at least he got it for some of them. And,
yeah.
you know, the thing is, we've got activists all over the place that are just working their butts off trying to get attention paid to this, trying to get something done, because I don't know about you, but I have gotten to the point after all these years and much traveling and expense and time wasted that it is a waste of time going to legislators or anybody in the judiciary or anybody in an official capacity. As I said, they all know what's going on and they won't
yeah.
do a thing to stop it, because as Ron brought up, this $300 million, for instance, that's going into one area, this money is huge. And we have government on both levels that is blowing money like there's no tomorrow. And that money that county got, that $300 million, that's taxpayer money. It isn't
yes.
the people in D.C.
Yeah.
That isn't their – that's our money. That's our money
well,
that they're paying.
Nevada needs – an adage. Nevada needs a story. What happens in Las Vegas cannot stay in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they, I mean, they've definitely gotten some.
Got to be exposed.
Yep.
That's the point.
Yep.
Yeah.
It does. Well, and see, and we have people doing that all over the country. And I'm glad to say that so many, you know, other people have come up doing radio shows exposing this. And the word is getting out. And it's been slow and tedious because, Ron, you brought up, you know, people say, oh, that can't have happened. That would never happen here. Well, you must have done something wrong. And they all say that
yeah.
right up till it lands on their doorstep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if it happens to a member of your family, you get scared, and a lot of people
yep.
just give up. A lot of people
yep.
just give up. We can't give up. We have to stand up for right, for what is right.
There are people that I know in Montgomery County that are staying very silent because they have minor children, and they actually feel that their children would be targeted and taken from them.
There are numerous stories, you know, you can easily find them online, you know, and stories of people, you know, on Facebook, stories of all sorts of people who parents are afraid because they've taken one, two, three of my children. I don't want them to take my newborn, so I'm not going to say anything.
Right.
That's the power that these monsters have.
Well, and they've all been granted immunity. And immunity only extends so far. As long as you act within the parameters of your defined job, you have immunity, or that office does. You, as an individual, do not. You are civilly liable for your actions while in office. That's what they call misfeasance, malfeasance, and all the other feasances. But people are operating under the delusion that these people are somehow exempt. They are not. But getting it into court is another matter. And my problem in all of this is, like, we've seen how many videos of the police breaking into people's home and ripping their children away on the word of some CPS agent who did not have a warrant. They're supposed to have a warrant with an oath and affirmation attached to it saying they went in front of a judge, physically went in front of a judge, presented their evidence, which they never did, and the judge attested to the veracity of that evidence and issued the warrants, and it has what's called a wedding signature. In other words, he signed it in person. If they have a warrant at all, it's called a boilerplate. They printed it off a fax machine and rolled with it with no evidence, no nothing. But there's a protocol that is supposed to be followed that it's never followed, and nobody ever holds them, and nobody is ever able to hold them to accountability on this. This is a whole system that's set against us. On paper, it looks like it should work a certain way, but in reality, it's like a band of criminals running the show, and, you know, there's no sheriff in town. I don't know what to do about this. After all these years and listening to these stories and the grief these people have endured at the hands of these predators. You know, Ron, you brought up earlier about that one organization referring to clients as merchandise. What we're seeing
that was a phrase from Nancy Schaefer, that these agencies need merchandise.
Yes. And what we're seeing now in these reports is they refer to these children and the elderly that they've captured as units. We have objectified them, removed from them their humanity, and we treat them as objects and as inanimate things, as things that are not living. And this to me is probably the most cold-hearted part. But, you know, this actually, this whole turn in things started. Do you remember, I don't know how old you are, Ron, I'm getting up there in years myself.
66.
But I can remember, I'm way past you. But I can remember when you went to apply for a job, you went to the personnel department. And then at some point in time, it changed to human services. Now, excuse me, what other services do you have that would require labeling it? I mean, you running dog services? What are you running? And I've started seeing things from bank referring to their investors as human capital. And there is a something about that definition that makes my skin crawl. We are identified as property, chattel.
I testified with other people, including Tamar, and I wanted to bring out, I promised I'd mention her name, Arlene Sander-DeBrow. Oh, you know Arlene. Because
I know
Judy,
Judy
Laura Fisher, I call her, she's the one who broke open the Kids for Cash case in Luzerne County. And she's been a leader in the custody for cash, you know, plundering in Pennsylvania. Arlene Sander-DeBrow, she's the mom of Pennsylvania. She's 80 years young. And she's still fighting. But see,
I didn't know she was 80. Oh wow, she is feisty.
Oh my god. She's suffering like crazy, but she's still fighting. So, I think it was Marty who was saying about something about immunity, or maybe it was Kaz about immunity. God does not grant immunity when there's wrongdoing or evil. He doesn't grant immunity against evil, against wrongdoing. He punishes wrongdoing. He holds wrongdoing accountable. And maybe in this life, maybe these people, like this despicable judge or all these county workers, maybe they think they're getting away with something, but they don't know. They're playing with fire. They're playing with fire, and they're playing with their immortal souls who are harming people immeasurably. And it's
amen, Ron.
Like we were saying, like with poor Susan Hunsiger, it took her to not just to be murdered and raped, but dismembered to get to rouse state legislatures. Some of them I've written to, some of them our network has written to for years, never heard a peep out of them. But suddenly, when a foster teen gets murdered and dismembered, suddenly they're shaken to their core. And it's similar, it's reminiscent of when 6 million Jews were murdered in gas chambers in Nazi Germany. It took 6 million Jews to be murdered to shake the world, to grant Israel the statehood and a reformed state in 1948. That was the price. So it's kind of like, and I don't know if there'll be a bill, you know, the Susan Hunsiger government abuse bill, but that's what it takes. It takes shaking people to their core with gruesome brutality to finally act.
And, you know, she was even found on Halloween. I'll always remember Halloween, like every year, like so gruesome. And she was found on that holiday. Wasn't that 2016?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Little innocent girl.
Did anybody know she was missing?
Sarah Packer was cashing her government checks for 5 months after she was gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
And I think she made up some kind of phony story. She made up a phony story in 2010 that she ran away.
Oh. Okay.
But meanwhile, she was cashing her government checks that were still coming in five months later. Okay, so that makes sense, because she was murdered July 4th week in July, August, September, October. All right, so that was they found her body, you know, 3-4 months later, and she was mm-hmm. she was still cashing these checks.
Wow. Yeah. Too many Christmas. Did these people give any kind of an excuse for why they had done this to her?
I myself didn't. I mean, what excuse could you give? I mean, She was wrapped in a blanket when she was led from the courthouse in handcuffs. She was wrapped in a blanket, you know, with she had nothing to say.
Yeah.
And actually, the boyfriend at his sentencing, he's now on death row. He said, I guess I maybe thought it was going to lessen his sentence, but he claimed at his sentencing that it was Sarah Packer was the brains of the operation. This was all her idea.
She had a fantasy that she wanted to fulfill. And what we haven't mentioned is that, you know, they bound her, raped her, tortured her. They thought they had killed her. And then 12 hours later came back to find that she was still alive. And then that's when they killed her.
Oh, my God.
But Sarah Packer claims that she held her hand and said, "It's okay, you can go," as she was being killed.
Oh, bless her little black heart.
Yeah, it's just good. Awful.
Good God.
Well,
that's what I say.
She's a martyr. This young girl is a martyr. She's a martyr of brutality, and ultimately it's governmental brutality because government was hiring the packer and her boyfriend and her ex-husband, you know, and the whole foster systems. They were funding the foster system that was feeding these kids to Sarah Packer. And this is going on all over the place.
Jesus. This is just, you know, up here where I live, up in St. Cloud.
What,
the
land of 15,000 lakes.
Yes, yes. And very nearly.
Not a thousand. Not a thousand lakes,
yes.
But 15,000.
They said there's closer to 15,000 than 10. And, but up in St. Cloud, the trafficking is terrible up there. And, of course, that's in the middle of the St. Cloud Diocese, much of it attached to the Catholic Church. And you drive up in St. Cloud, and the kids out on the corners prostituting will knock you down. It is just unbelievable what goes on. And, of course, up across this area, we've had a large number of children disappear. We've got the Smiley Face murders, the Jacob Wetterling case. Josh Gamone disappeared out on St. John's campus. He was writing a treatise on the pedophilia of monks and priests down in the Bahamas, and he just simply disappeared off the planet. And but this is prevalent up here. But something else in this area that feeds into this is the inbreeding and incest in these cloistered communities that has gone on for many, many generations. And the attitude of these people up here towards children is that they are property. Now, not everybody, of course, but you get in these old, established German families, and it's property. And they can do with them what they want, and they do. And like I say, this has gone on for generations.
I didn't bring this out, but we're talking about, well, you know, I mentioned the, you know, Stephen Creason's book. I forgot to mention Hillary Clinton's book, and, you know, it takes a village. And, of course, Hillary
and
Clinton
she's a village
was the one.
Idiot.
Well,
yeah.
Amen. Three-time loser. And she was, even though she was not elected to anything, she was never elected to anything, she was the lead person behind the adoption ASFA, Adoption and Safe Families Act in 1997 that authorized these bonuses to state and county governments for expediting the adoptions of kids. And one of her provisions that she put in, because she wanted to be the first lady of children. So she looked around and saw all these kids, you know, several hundred thousand kids across the United States are in foster care. So she wanted to promote an expedited adoption. So the Adoption and Safe Families Act of 1997 expedited the termination of parental rights to 6 weeks. If you lose your kid, and they're 6 weeks, then you lose your parental rights. And that was Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, she's a piece of work. she had a lot of her take a village. She ought to shut up.
hold on. The principle she stood behind, and Dr. Creason talks about this in his book, is called, I think it's Patria Parens. Patria, P-A-T-R-I-A, P-A-R-E-N-S, a Latin term that was adopted in the English common law, I guess, that means, and this is where she got her title from, it means the state is the parent of the family. The state is the parent of the kids. So,
in place of the parents,
So that's where we are.
Yeah. And I, you know, there's so much has come out about all of that and about registering your birth certificate and what that actually means when you do that. You're actually conveying the title to your child to the state, and you've registered them. And this, we've had this up here in Minnesota. We've had several attempts by the Department of Health to claim that since they take three extra drops of blood at birth, and I don't know if you know, but every child in this country since 1992 has had its DNA collected, and is stored in a data bank in Maryland. And but the state, they right before the mother delivers, will bring in the papers for you to sign for them to take this extra blood. But what they don't tell you is that you have 45 days to demand in writing that that sample be destroyed. Well, nobody knows about it, so nobody did it. And so then the state claims they own that DNA. They, and in fact, own your child. And they have tried to pull several things up here to claim ownership of the children. And we've had some state legislators come out and say that your children don't belong to you. They belong to the state. And
Marty, I got news for you. Is this like a precursor of the Mark of the Beast?
I don't know. I don't get into that stuff.
It's pretty ominous. It's pretty ominous.
Yeah. Well, and
blood drops today, vaccines tomorrow. Computer chips the next day.
Yes. Yes, and they're talking about installing them in the heads of our military so they can talk to them directly on the battlefield. That'll come in handy.
Yeah, there you go.
But there is so much going on. It's like the whole world has turned upside down. And we are a country that is absolutely economically devastated. We, for all intents and purposes, manufacture nothing. We have no textile mills. We have no steel mills of any worth that are running. We have produced nothing except food that isn't fit to eat and nobody wants. The last commodity only commodity this country ever had of value was its people.
Kids.
So they figured out a whole system on how to buy and sell, trade us, and to make money doing it. And we are worth X amount of dollars in that system, depending on which agency captures you. The people that work in these agencies, the question I always ask is, what happened to you that your sense of humanity, your sense of decency went so far off the charts that you would prey on other human beings to make a living? And I don't want to hear this because I got a family to support. We've all got families to support, but I'm not going to do anything to harm you to do that. And but this willingness of people to go along with this, to take part in it, to how these police officers go into these homes and tear these children away from their parents, that everybody's screaming and crying and begging them to stop, and yet they do it with force. They don't seem to mind what they're doing. These CPS workers take these children. These children are screaming for their mom and dad. How do you do that? How do you do that every day? I mean, how void do you have to be of a conscience to act in such a way?
Conscience. Marty Koz, can I ask you, have we, during this broadcast, do you think we have been hopeful and encouraging to people? Have we been action-oriented to give people some kind of hope that are listening and will listen to these rebroadcasts and the podcasts?
What I think is we aren't at the point where we can be hopeful yet. Do I think we have encouraged people? Yes. The more of us that speak out and the more often we speak out is important. It empowers people. It encourages them. And this is what's kept me doing this. I think it's very important that we speak out. But as far as getting to a point of hope, I think we are at a tipping point. I think the public at large is so fed up with what goes on in government, both on the state and federal level, what these agencies are doing, what these corrupt courts are doing. I think people are so fed up. We are at a tipping point. And I don't know what's going to push us over the edge, but when that edge comes, we're all going to pay a price, and those that have been scared all along will remain scared, and those of us who have been fighting all along will stand up and fight. That's all I know. And, Koz, what do you think?
I think that's a great question. I think that, you know, a lot of people don't like to say who they voted for. We obviously just talked about, you know, Hillary Clinton and the things that she did. I mean, I didn't even know that one. But I feel like the message that Donald Trump portrayed, the drain the swamp message, was speaking to a lot of people. And you didn't hear any
yes.
other politicians like screaming drain the swamp. And I think that as everybody sits there and tries to figure out, you know, how we can be the next president and some Green New Deals and all this other thing, I think if Donald continues to yell drain the swamp, he's getting reelected. And I mean, I think that's going to be, you know, he wants that. And I think that he has so much money he can't be brought. And I'm not like being on the Donald Trump pedestal.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm yeah. just saying this is what's going to happen, because at the end of the day, the more people that know about what our government's doing and you start screaming, you know, draining the swamp, I mean, all this, like, you know, Republican politicians that, you know, you pretty much thought were going to get it, they all lost to a businessman yelling drain the swamp. And so
yeah. well,
that got him elected. That, I mean, along with it, people heard that. And why is he screaming drain the swamp if there's not something to it? And I think the rest of the politicians need to pay attention. There is a swamp. Is Trump part of that swamp now? You know, that's what, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to. But the thing is, that he pointed
Trump
out a swamp. And yeah.
Because the biggest problem Trump had was the man had not a clue what he was stepping into. And he actually thought he was going to come in there and be running everything. And he got it laid down to him about 3 months into office. Darth Vader showed up. Dick Cheney, we call him Death Vader, showed up for 2 days. And Donald Trump did a 360 on any number of issues. Donald Trump isn't running anything. As president, if he had any power, he could have drained the swamp and quickly. But he doesn't have that kind of power. Who the president is quite honestly neither here nor there, because they have no authority.
Yeah.
They have no power.
Well, both of you.
I've always said it's at those ground level. The ground levels of our local governments are, but I feel like it's the smoke screen. Like, hey, look who's going to be the president. But I really think you're right.
Yeah.
It's that ground level. Like, who are your judges? Who are your local? And
yeah.
I think, but
ladies,
still, pay attention.
Both of you ladies are talking about, are saying, the average person, and that's why that Abraham Lincoln said, you know, why did God, you know, why does God love the average person? Because he made so many of us. And both of you are saying the average person has to speak out. I'm a Christian, and my Lord died on a cross, and the only thing he could do at the end of his life was to speak out. That was like the last action of his life, to speak out. And that's what you're saying. We all need to speak out for what is right.
Yes.
Ron, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Because
I'm a Christian, too. That really spoke to me. I think that was awesome what you just said. Like, yeah, you're right, because that, like, spark of humanity within all of us, you know, like, speaking out and seeing that justice. And that was a really good way to put it.
He couldn't do anything more. He's nailed to his cross. He's nailed to a cross. All he could do at the end of his life was speak. So speaking out must be important. If God can do that on the cross, then we must do. We should be able to do that.
Yeah, we're down to the last 2 minutes.
And we are.
Ron, I want to thank you for coming on.
Yes, thank you.
And Kaz, thank you for co-hosting with me tonight. We'll be back next week with more news from Get the Odd Holes, Montgomery County, and that's the rally and cry for shenanigans. Get the Odd Holes, and
the odd holes in the outhouse.
Yeah, there you go.
In the outhouse, I like that. Thank you, Marty, for exposing all this and having us on.
You bet. We're going to do it again. Again, Ron, thank you. I want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight. If you have any comments or anything, you know how to get a hold of me, tsrad1@outlook.com. And I'll answer any questions or reply to any comments you have. We'll be back again next week.
Happy Easter.
We'll be back Sunday night with Tanya Hathaway and her Tanya Talk Show from She's Zeroing In on Oklahoma and Raising Hell Out There. So, we're going to cover
every
state
before this is over. Where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
There you go. And yes. And but thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will be back Sunday evening. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.